many of you been to Shangri-La? Quick backstory. Tobacco heiress Doris Duke fell in love with Islamic culture and art on her round-the-world honeymoon. Stopping in Honolulu on her way home, Duke decided to house her collection here in an Islamic-style setting on Diamond Head. The view from the lawn across the terraced pools is splendid. Coconut palms fringe the property, perched with a clear view of the open ocean. That's Cromwell's surf spot, her husband's name. Inside, the rooms feel distinct from others we're normally in. White walls have window niches with colored glass designs. The entryway splits into two staircases that descend to an interior courtyard. And that's where I met Leslie Mickelson, curator of collections and exhibitions at Shangri-La. They have an exhibit called 8x8 on view now. It's all Hawaii artists, and that's something different.
So we're in the middle of transforming the experience away from a docent-led tour to hopefully a self-guided experience.
That's a big change.
It is a very big change. Yes, we're excited about that. So we're preparing this as an introductory gallery so that people have a chance to orient themselves.
That's needed here.
Absolutely.
It so helps to bring other senses to this exploration. I mean, everything you know about history and music is great. Plus, I was here for a tabla performance once, and you served Persian sweets. It all helps.
Absolutely. Art in a vacuum is,
What is it?
What is it? And this is why my own personal bias, and I'm a trained art historian, but when something's super high concept, for example, I find that really challenging, right? Because I think that it can also be very elitist, and it's very exclusionary. And so I think the most important thing for us is to really make bridges outward, because already we're dealing with a slight disadvantage. People have a lot of misconceptions about Islamic art. People think that it's, purely religious. They think that there are no figures. They think that, it's only from the Middle East, when, of course, the most populous Muslim nation is Indonesia, right?
So, Leslie, you've been here 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Most of my career has been spent in the Middle East and Central Asia. This is actually my first full-time job in America, in as much as Hawaii is.
Where have you been in the Middle East?
Most recently, I was working for UNESCO Afghanistan. Before that, I was at the Museum of Islamic Art in Doha, Qatar. Before that, I worked with an NGO called Turquoise Mountain in Kabul. And I have a lot of archaeology projects, mostly in Turkmenistan. It was a deliberate choice. I really wanted to do this. I felt it was really imperative, as the only freestanding museum of Islamic art in the United States, which always blows people's minds about Shangri-La, I think we have a real moral imperative to really advocate for the cultures and peoples whose artworks are represented in our collection.
Mm-hmm. How do we get that? How do we expand the experience mm-hmm. of that?
I think it's through narratives. I think that's the most powerful way that people learn is through stories. And I think obviously people are different kind of learners. What we want to do is provide a menu of experiences so that people can have, first of all, multiple interpretations because there are multiple voices here, and then also multiple choices in how they learn.
You really did choose your artists so well here. I'm really dying to see Tom Walker.
Yes, please, let's go right through here. And, I will tell you also that this is Brandon Ng's work. Brandon Ng has a three-part. It starts with archival photographs of the construction of Shangri-La. It then progresses to these cyanotypes that he created from native Hawaiian plants. And on the other side are actually examples of those very rare native Hawaiian endemic plants. When I was choosing the visual artists, I wanted to celebrate so many of the artists that I knew here that I felt didn't have enough chances to exhibit. I don't want to be the howlay chick from the mainland who comes in and criticizes, but I'm really sick of going to art openings in bars here. I think that the arts community really needs more spaces to flourish and grow. And I think that that's where Shangri-La can be a partner, right? We have wall space, we have some funds, and once a year at least, I hope that we can open up to artists from our community and celebrate their work. And that's what 8x8 is all about, right?
And I've often wondered whether really these are the best pieces from the time of the era and so on. But
well, I have to say, as an Islamic art historian, our collection is quirky, right? We have some amazing, I really hate this word, but quote-unquote masterpieces. And then we have some much more humble materials. And in a way, I'm much more excited about this collection than I am with other collections that I've worked with. And I think partly it's because I'm also an archaeologist, and so I'm very excited by the domestic and the humble and the quotidian. Because let's be honest, the quotidian is actually much more relevant to understanding a culture than something that's made in court, right? Does that actually influence visual culture if 5 or 6 people get to see it? You know? isn't it actually much more of an effect on the populace to have things in much more humble materials that circulate much more widely? It's not one is a correct answer, one is not. These are questions that I think that we need to ask, because so much of art history is really informed by the history of elitism and the elite and the production for the elite, and it gives us a very skewed notion of history.
Ever think of it that way? Leslie Mickelson is curator of collections and exhibitions at Shangri-La. While the museum's closed, you can find the entire 8x8 exhibition, including 8 performances. They look great. Kudos to the artists. It's all online.